The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Climate Matters. I'm Lindsay Wood, the Director of Climate Strategy Company Resilience Limited, and Climate Matters is brought to you by Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. Well, I'm delighted to say that we're having a second session with the wonderful young people from Lighthouse Aotearoa, along with their organizer. You will have heard the last lot a couple of weeks ago, I hope, and this time we're continuing the rest of the interview, picking up on new themes. I do hope you enjoy it as much as I did. Well, here we are again for interview two, and a big welcome back to Amy, Cadence, Chloe and Holly, and also to the convener of Lighthouse Aotearoa, Will Stovall. You may remember we had a great chat a couple of weeks ago. In fact, it may have even been last week on Climate Matters, and we're going to follow that up with another similar session now. As last time, we're going to generally pair it with two people from the team answering each question, and we'll get into it with a question that I've subtitled Peers. And I'm going to invite Amy to start on this and then Chloe. You're obviously strongly interested in climate issues, or you wouldn't be talking with me here. However, I imagine there's a huge spread of knowledge and interest among your peers, from a yawn to you've got to be kidding. What suggestions do you have about helping everyone engage in the climate journey in their own way? Amy, please take it away from there.
I'd say whether it's making small changes like soft plastic recycling or riding your bike to school or work or joining a group like ours, just any action is better than inaction. Every little bit helps.
Right. Every little bit helps. I think that's really important. Okay, Chloe, do you want to pick up on that theme, please?
Yeah, so like there's a lot of different ways you can positively impact or prevent climate change. In my age group, and perhaps all age groups, a positive reward is the best way to get kids involved, i.e. come to the beach cleanup and after we'll have a barbecue afterwards.
That really resonated with me because I spent most of my life on this question of how do you get people on a journey? And in a way, it picks up a little bit on the camp, doesn't it? There was a mix there of fun things and serious things. I might come back to that if we have the time at the end, because I think how we get other people to move on this journey and how we motivate ourselves to move is a really important thing. However, I want to move now onto something, I won't say more serious because these are all serious, but education for climate. And I love the passion that you're all bringing and the knowledge you bring on climate change. And I'd be interested to know the balance of how much of that comes from your own self-engagement and how much is what you've been learning at school. And building on that, what do you feel would be the most useful things a school curriculum could offer students of your age to help be effective on your climate journey? Please take it away in any direction you want. Holly, would you go first on that, please?
Well, I think I learned quite a bit at school last year and am learning now when Will comes to my school. But I think I also have learned a lot from being a part of the Lighthouse Aotearoa group. And I think I've grown off people's ideas and just got a lot more knowledge. And one thing I think that could be useful for in schools is teaching kids more on how climate change actually works and the science behind it, because a lot of kids will say they'll ride their bike to school and things like that, but they don't actually know why they're doing it.
It's very interesting. And can I invite you to say where someone like Will sits into that picture? Will's got thick skin. He won't mind what you say, Holly. Where I'm going to with that is that to get information like the science across, in my head, means that you have to have someone who's able to interpret the science in a way that people can understand. So if you're talking to a PhD student, it's going to be very different to talking to me or talking to you.
Well, when Will has been at my school, I think he's been really good at sharing it, and he gives it in a really fun way where we're normally really engaged.
That's good. Well, I want to give you a thumbs up back, Will, then. Well done. You obviously strike a sweet spot there. That's terrific. Okay, Cadence, I'm going to ask you to pick up a bit on the same theme of education for climate.
I think that perhaps getting more teachers like Will out there and throughout schools is a great idea, because although Will is amazing, he's only one person, and the more people we have out there, the faster you can teach kids, the more classes you can have going at once, and it's all just the best for the curriculum if there are more teachers. And other things could possibly include broader school-wide talks about climate change, rather than just having class by class, having a short assembly or a session throughout school. It doesn't have to be an entire school, it could be like half a school, a certain house or whatever. It will be a little less educational, but everybody will get the message, not just one class. And I definitely think that the New Zealand curriculum should include climate change as a dedicated subject.
Great answer. Two good answers there. I'm going to lead into a bit of a strange ground there, and that is that almost every school and every course, whether it's primary, intermediate, secondary, university, whatever, they have more stuff they want to teach than they have time to teach. I'm not talking just about climate, but the curriculum, it's always a matter of juggling to see whether we spend more time on English or more time on tech or IT or whatever. Are you thinking that people should, or the people who set the curriculum, should push some things off to make room for more climate information? Or are you thinking maybe there is a different way of weaving climate into the curriculum? That's a curly question, I'm sorry, but I'd love to hear what you think. Any of you who want to have a go. Go for it, Cadence.
Well, I think that it's always best to try and fit it in among other subjects, because all education is important. Although climate education is well important for our future, we need to be teaching them other stuff. I wouldn't say like kick out maths and English and science just to have, or any other subjects out there just to have climate change. But if required, I would say that dropping a little bit of some of the subjects, some of the lesser subjects, just to get a little bit of climate change in there. It doesn't have to be much, but if it's curriculum based, it's not just going to be just Will goes around or just the experts go around and talk to people about the thing. It'll be taught by all teachers and that kind of stuff.
Thanks, that's a really thoughtful answer. Yes, go for it, Holly. Love to hear what you say.
Well, yeah, I think that's really good that if we had a subject like that, but if we couldn't, well, I think that at my school we do as much as we can to put in the other subjects about climate change. So like in English we read texts about multiple texts about climate change, so we're learning about climate change through English.
Yeah, I love it. And I could see the same with maths. You could be doing maths exercise on emissions or something like that. Will, you want to chip in a little bit on that from your angle?
Yeah, I can. And also, Amy was wondering if she could weigh in on this as well. So I'll pass it over to her after I'm finished. But yeah, I guess, you know, climate change is one of those things that's very interdisciplinary. It's scientific, it's social, it's historical. There's statistics involved. You can incorporate it into the numeracy curriculum. There's lots of things to read about climate change you can incorporate into the literacy requirements. So I think there are ways to still have these things as a priority, and it doesn't necessarily need to be either or. And I think that that's kind of some of the rhetoric that's taken over the education system at the moment, is a little bit one way or the other. And I absolutely don't think that it has to be that way. I think that it can be, you know, through teaching about climate change, we're teaching about critical thinking and how to interpret and analyze information, which is a really important skill for young people to have. yeah, just to take away with them, even if they don't remember the exact facts, it's that being able to pick apart what you hear and what you read, and to apply, rigorous scrutiny to it. So I think
Yeah.
that's super important.
Great, thank you. And you don't have to spend more than about 5 minutes starting to look at climate change to realize that it connects with everything, doesn't it? And therefore, the whole school curriculum is open. Amy, I think you wanted to chip in on with something.
Yeah, I just want to say I think it's very, very important that they keep a positive outlook when teaching climate change to kids and that we focus on solutions.
That's interesting. When you say a positive outlook, do you mean get away, keep away from the scary stuff, or try and work on pathways from here to getting through the difficult future that we've got? What are you meaning by that?
I think more the second thing that you said, because it's still important to teach the kids the facts. But I think if you don't keep a positive outlook, then they just get scared and they feel powerless. Whereas if you go, this bad thing is happening, but we can stop it if we do this, it's much better.
Those are such cool thoughts. Okay, we're doing well, team. The next question is intergenerational challenge, and I'm going to invite Chloe and then Amy to talk about that. A perennial issue seems to be that older people like me are resistant to changing our ways, or thinking young people don't know enough to be listened to. And I'm my apologies to you all for as an old dude for if you experience that. This must be incredibly frustrating for well-informed people like you, who will also carry the brunt of escalating climate change. What messages would you like to convey to older generations, and there are probably quite a few listening, older generations that will hopefully make them more receptive to giving you a fair hearing and fitting involvement? Chloe, kindly kick off for us there.
Yes, so the older people need to listen out to us and just hear us out instead of staying indoors. Well, not usually, but yeah, and just listen to us. And I hope after this, more people just listen and yeah, just build up on positive acting climate change. Plant trees.
Plant trees. We could always do with more trees, couldn't we? Thank you for that. Amy, would you pick up on that theme, please?
Yeah, I think it's important for them to remember that climate change is happening now, and just because it doesn't directly affect them or their loved ones at this moment doesn't mean it won't in the future.
Yes, it's very easy to imagine that it's all sometime in the future, isn't it? Do you find it hard when people think, oh, isn't it lovely? Summer's coming a bit early. And I don't know about you, but I think, oh, I'm not sure that it should be doing that. We shouldn't be celebrating it. One little thing that I might just mention there that might be of interest to you. There's a great podcast. There's a woman called Audrey Tang, and she was the Minister for Digital Environment, I think, in Taiwan. And she came up with a concept called reverse mentorship. And reverse mentorship was where the young people decided what should happen, and the older people used their skills to make it happen. And I don't know how that sounds to you, but it really struck quite a chord with me. So I saw a few smiles on the Zoom screen there. So I'll take that a yes, that's quite a good idea. Let's roll on. And I'm moving on now into future projects. And I'm going to ask Holly and then Cadence to talk to this, because you've already got some projects in the pipeline, I expect, or there may be some that you'd like to have in the pipeline. So I'd love to hear your take on those, and particularly Holly, if you'd start us on that journey, please.
Well, we are planning more events with the NGC, which is the New Generation Conversation Group from Christchurch,
Yeah.
as writing a letter to the local government. And some projects that I would like to have in the pipeline is more events involving the community and the council so we can express our voices publicly more.
That's really good. First of all, let's give a big shout out to NGC, because with a bit of luck, some of them are listening, or people connected with them are listening. In terms of connecting with the councils and so on, do you have in your head how that might happen?
Well, like speaking, I guess, in front of them and giving submissions and things like that.
Just to sow a few seeds in your mind, nearly all councils have, before the council meetings, they have a little thing called the public forum. And anybody can go and speak. If you're speaking on your own, just as an individual, you get 5 minutes. If you're speaking as a group, like Lighthouse Aotearoa, you get 10 minutes. And that's, I mean, it has to be a serious presentation, but you can present on anything you like. It doesn't have to be a thing on their agenda. So I just want to flag that to you. And out of interest, I was presenting to the council last Thursday, and completely to my surprise and pleasure, sitting as a youth councillor at the council was someone who's one of my neighbours, Scout Proctor Thompson. And she's a lovely neighbour, and here she was sitting in the council. I didn't even know she was going to be there. So I just want to sow that seed that maybe that's a journey that's open to some of you guys. Okay, I'm about to lose my place here. Where have we got to? Holly Cadence, would you add to us, please, a bit on future projects?
Amy has already said it talked about the draft letter to newly elected councillors. I think that's a really cool project to have in the pipeline. In the future, I would hope to get bigger, stronger projects out there. I just hope to write a letter to the government as a bigger project, a more nationwide cover. And I think if we all, everybody in Lighthouse agrees, we can start a petition.
Well, thanks for that, Cadence. We're now going to go into a closing question, but it's also one of my favorites, and that is to give our guests a magic climate wand. And this is, and I'm going to include Will in this round. So we've got five magic wands, and maybe what spell you'd like to cast with your wand. Let's see how you go. It's basically in Te Tau Ihu. And it's what would it be, and why do you feel it's important for climate? Now, Holly, I've got you on in my sights. Go for it. And then you
Okay.
can say who comes next.
One wish I would have is for a place to live in where there was lots of trees and green and where people could grow their own food and not litter, because then we could have a completely clean place to live in and it would solve a lot of our problems.
Sounds nice, doesn't it? Gosh. Okay, now thank you for that. Please pass on the magic wand to somebody else. You say who gets it now.
Amy.
Oh, come on. Okay. I guess my spell would be to change people's perspective on climate change, making sure that they put the climate at the forefront of their mind and make decisions that positively impact the environment.
Out of interest, the Nelson City Council has a policy of looking at every thing that they put out through what they call a climate lens, which I think is a little bit like you're talking about. But the trouble is that they look through it with their eyes shut. So all sorts of stuff goes out that's not good for the climate, and there's no record of why they've reached that decision. Amy, you can choose someone else.
Does anyone want to go? I don't really mind.
Why don't we pass it to Will? How about that?
What both of you guys said, I absolutely agree with. I think it's just like that. A little bit of foresight and long-term planning would really help our species. We're so dedicated to the here and now. It's how we've evolved. It's how we've done things for the vast majority of our history. But this unique situation that we're in right now, it requires a more concerted, kind of deliberate approach over multiple generations, and it's a huge challenge, but it's also an exciting, it can be an evolutionary leap for our species to embrace this kind of long-term thing. So that's what I would change with a magic wand, is just to get us there a little bit faster.
Thanks, Will. And now you can pass the wand to somebody else.
Chloe, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like the government to ban importing any food products or cleaning products, which we can produce in New Zealand at adequate quantities. I think it's crazy to ship food halfway around the world when it's grown in this country.
Thank you for that, Chloe. And now you pass the wand. We know who it's going to go to, but you pass it on.
Cadence.
Yeah, thanks, Chloe. I think that my spell would be not as direct to climate change as the rest of you, but I would like to make everyone understand and have this and have the right mindset of trying to fix climate change. I think that personally, I think that would be the best spell to cast, is get everybody on board before we do any clean up or whatever. Because even if we cast a spell that lets cleans up all one thing, humans are just going to do it again. And so we need to change everyone's mindset. And then once everyone's on board, there are a lot of people in the world, we can get things done quite quickly.
What a good note to finish on. Thanks, Cadence. I think that's terrific. If we all get our heads in the right space, then we can build it up for over the long term. That's tremendous. Well, look, we've reached the end of this. I've had a wonderful time and I've loved the contributions that you've all made. So I just want to say thank you to all of you. I wish you and Lighthouse Aotearoa all the very best in your future work and in linking with NGC and whoever else you link with. And you never know, we might hear that there are one or two other groups spurred by what you've been saying tonight. So thanks so much for joining me on Climate Matters. And I do hope we have a chance to talk again sometime soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, just how cool was that? Just a quick reminder that the young people we've just heard are with the Lighthouse Aotearoa Futures Focused Group. They are from Waimea Intermediate, from Neyland College and St. Joseph's Schools. But the Lighthouse Aotearoa program runs through over a dozen schools throughout Te Tau Ihu. And I wish it every strength. It's a great program. And gosh, how impressive those young people are. Well, I do thank you for your company. I hope I enjoy it again next week, of course. You're listening to Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. Fresh FM broadcasts in Blenheim on 88.9, to Eastern Golden Bay on 95.0, to the Nelson CBD on 107.2, and across the Nelson-Tasman region on 104.8. It's also streamed to the planet on freshfm.co.nz, and podcasts of Climate Matters and other locally produced shows are available through freshfm.co.nz. Thanks again for your company. I hope I enjoy it again next week. Kia kaha for the climate.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tau Ihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.